Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Yes, hello, I am back. I do apologize I wasn't able to get a show out to you last week. I'd had big plans for it, too, and so it's kind of odd. I'm actually kind of shifted back a week. I'm still going to do what I planned to do last week with. I want to do a tribute for both Peter Benedict and James Earl Jones. And, of course, James Earl Jones, I'm sure he's been tributed or been given tribute or paid some respects to in a lot of podcasts you've listened to. But I don't know how many shows you've listened to that gave some respect to Peter Renaday, and so I wanted to make sure I did that as well. But I have to be able to say a few things about James Earl Jones. And I wasn't able to do the show last week. I was trying to defrag my computer and a lot of different things. Also editing some video that Philip and I had filmed of watching Field of Dreams, which is for the upcoming podcast, Watching Movies with My Pastor, which will have a YouTube channel as well. Which is why I was editing video, and it turned out to be a complicated affair to do it. And I didn't quite get to do everything exactly the way I wanted to. I was trying to use RotoBrush. I wanted to have just Philip and I visible, but my computer just couldn't handle the task of removing our background for that long. So I'm going to look into getting some green screen set up for the next time we film. Now, this other show, the Watching Movies with My Pastor, it is not intended to be strictly a YouTube video show. I'm only going to have video if I have not seen the movie. Because if I've not seen the movie, I'm not going to be talking much during the movie. And so it's going to be more of a visual thing. And I've set it up to where we can have a little bit of a clip, a little bit of clips of the movie, so you know what I talk about and what gets my attention that I comment on. But when we're watching a movie that we have seen many, many times, and there's many of those, of course, that we'll be doing a lot more talking during the movie because we won't be paying as much attention to the movie. And so that will be more just the audio, although I will have an audio version of our Field of Dreams viewing. And I'm going to give you all a preview clip, I think, during this show. And I think y'all will enjoy it. So you get to hear us give a little bit of a rundown at the end of the film of some thoughts of the movie. Now, if you have not seen Field of Dreams, the movie is 1989. So it's an old movie, so I guess spoiler warning, but yeah, goodness, it's a long time, and if you're like me and you hadn't seen it, then I mean, golly, just go watch it real quick and then come back. I don't know. It's an old movie. You've probably seen it, but I hadn't. So we watched it, and I kind of felt like watching it after seeing some tributes to James Earl Jones where they include like this grand speech he gives towards the end of the film that kind of drives home some of the points of the movie. So after seeing that and reading what his lines were, his dialogue was, I was interested in watching the movie. And I wanted to try to see if I could release it in time to be a tribute. But I feel like I want to have a little bit more prepared. Like when I watch it as a podcast, I want to have at least three episodes perhaps ready. So we'll be re-releasing the Batman episode that you heard here as part of that feed. I'm going to have to re-record an intro and outro and stuff and I have to figure out what I'm going to do for an outro for that show. I mean, everything's pretty well set for this show. I mean, you know where the website is and all that. So I've got a lot more work to do. And in the process of doing that, I'm getting the itch again. I started my career in radio and I'm now working television, making ads. But I really do miss radio. I love the format. I love being able to play music and audio shows. I love audio entertainment. And I have gotten the bug to start a streaming radio service But I'm doing a lot of preparation. I'm making plans for what I want to do. There's going to be some costs involved, of course, for licensing music, because I want to play music legally to make sure that the artists get their pay for every time I play them. And there's going to be some costs to it. It's going to come out of my own fun money budget, as my wife and I kind of, in a way, are doing our Dave Ramsey plan, but we budget how much money I'm allowed to just blow on junk. And I've got to pay off some things first before I really commit to something. It's quite a lot of money. Now, I do plan on having a revenue stream for this with some ads that will run. And so that will hopefully negate some of that. But I think I'm going to need some startup. So I'm going to set up a donor page of some sort. So it will be coming, and you'll be able to find out more of this if you follow, of course, on our Facebook group. I'll probably share some stuff on that also. I mean, I'm still working on, I had an old radio show called Solid Rock. I produced here locally for a local radio station, and I'm taking that old Facebook page and I'm converting it to what I'm calling Eternal Neverland Radio. I figure that fits very well with me. And, you know, this used to be the Neverland podcast here a long time ago now. And so I'm continuing some of what I do here. I plan on for the morning show to be, you know, this podcast and some other podcasts that I enjoy. I want to talk to them and see if I can play their podcast once a week through on the weekdays. I want to play some Christian hard rock, stuff that doesn't really get played on any other type of radio other than some streaming radio stations that play this. But I'm going to mix it up. I'm also going to have Dinner with Disney is what I'm thinking, where I want to play some vintage Disney songs from old movies during mealtimes, about 5 o'clock Central, for maybe a couple hours. I'm even thinking overnight to play just strictly instrumental, which probably some movie scores, a lot of John Williams, probably some even video game score music, anything that has been released that has licensing available. That way everybody gets their 2 bits if I play their song, right? So I have plans on how to do that. I'm going to work out some scheduling of what's going to play what. And I don't know when this is going to launch. I've probably talked about this on the podcast before, my desire to do this. But it really started coming back to get today. Not just today, but I mean, it's been coming back for a while now, that compulsion to do it. And one thing I found almost telling and interesting is how I've had this thought to do it is I had a random person, but he knows people that I know. A guy who has also started some streaming radio. And I thought, well, here's somebody I can talk to, different ideas of how this might work. And then at the same time today, I had a coworker that turns out went to school, like elementary through high school, with one of my old professors from the University of Central Missouri. And this professor was one of the ones that taught the radio classes and also ran the radio station down there that I used to work on. And I kind of cut my teeth on it. Of course, I'd been podcasting for quite some time by the time I got there, but I'm looking at that as like, wow, things are starting to line up. That almost gives me that nudge to move forward in this. But I want to do this while counting the costs and making sure I can pay for this. And I have other obligations of things I need to pay for, you know. So I don't know when this is going to happen, but I'm slowly working my way towards it. But I will probably ask him for some donors once this thing gets off the ground, and maybe the ads pay for all my fees and maybe even turns a profit, which I'll turn the profits back around into the radio station as best I can, and even into the podcast. And who knows, maybe at some point the podcast will be kind of exclusive to the radio station, but I don't think so, because I also, through my account that I have this podcast, I'm also paying for my church to have a podcast where I put up Pastor Philip, who you've heard regularly on the show. I put his sermons up. That is the Moment of Truth Bible Baptist Church. If you do a search for that, you should be able to find it. I should probably have links in my show notes to things like that, but I do run that podcast as well. And I plan on, with radio, I'd like to go live every Sunday when we have church. We are live on a YouTube channel, which you can find at Moment of Truth Bible Baptist Church on YouTube. If you would like to watch our services, we invite you, of course, to join us virtually every Sunday. And since they are recorded, you can watch any service you would like. And so we would appreciate it if you come by and check it out. It's something I started doing during COVID because we had a lot of people, of course, they couldn't come to the building, but they could watch from home. And so we thought, okay, let's get it on YouTube and try to let everybody know we're on YouTube and see if we can get it out there. And we've just continued that tradition because it's just a good ministry we have. But I would like to go live on a streaming radio for the audio, because all my audio is running through my laptop the same way that I'm putting it onto YouTube. I could distribute it to a radio station that I was running. So I do have designs and plans on that. And so keep listening for that to come in the future. I hope you'll come along with me on that and enjoy some music and some fun that I will have on there. There's a lot of things I would like to do. I just don't know if I can get everything on there right away. It may take me some time to get various different radio shows. I'm looking to see if I can have some old radio shows on there, some old vintage radio. I want to have a lot of retro and a lot of just fun and old classic radio shows. I enjoy them very much, and I would love to be able to share those. So I got to find a way to do that, because I also have to be able to squeeze some ads into those. So it's all hopefully going to come together very well, and we'll just see if it does or not. So anyways, what have I been watching? Well, I've been watching the Chiefs. I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan. I live in the suburbs of Kansas City and Gladstone here. I have lived within city limits, and they are now currently 3-0. They're squeaking those wins out, and I know all the haters out there want to say, oh, well, the refs got them in their pocket, but I love it when people have countered that. It goes like, you realize the Chiefs have gotten more penalties than most other teams in the NFL. The refs have really taken a lot away from the Chiefs. We've lost a lot of yards and everything, and the Chiefs are winning despite all the penalties, which, you know, sometimes you do something stupid and you get a penalty. And a lot of the teams that we've beat this year that the refs did something, well, it's undeniable some of the dumb things that they did to get their penalties that cost them the game. Not that they would necessarily have won if not for their penalties they've got them themselves, but they'd certainly damage their chances with some of the things that they did. So, you know, you got to look at it from all sides. So what have I been playing? Well, I did see that there was one trophy for Spider-Man 2 as they added New Game Plus, that there's a trophy for completing the main story on New Game Plus. So I'm kind of bull rushing through the main story. But as I've done that, now Epic Mickey Rebrushed has released, and I did have a reservation down on that. So now I have that. It's now currently in my PS5. And it has installed itself. And I wanted to give you a quick review of the demo, because there has been a demo available. I'm sure you can still download and play this on whichever system you're playing on, because this is for, you know, Xbox, Nintendo Switch, and PlayStation. I did enjoy the demo. It was fun to play again. It controls a lot easier, I think, this way compared to on the old Wii, where you had the Wiimote and the motion controls. I just couldn't get the hang of it, so I never completed the game. So I'm getting another shot at it. One thing I will say about the demo is the music sounded great, but the sound effects and some of the voices, well, I mean, they don't talk full voice. They go, ooh, oh, you know, that kind of thing. It sounded like they were underwater. And I don't know if that was able to be fixed by the time they've released the game. I will find out when I get a chance to play it, and I'll probably give you a full review later. But overall, the demo was fun. I did enjoy the demo. And so I'm looking forward to getting a chance to play that, and hopefully maybe finish it by October, because I do want to do Scare Play later. And I did have plans to play Hogwarts Legacy for maybe part of Scare Play. And I'll probably dive back into Phasmophobia like I did last year. Y'all can follow along on that on the official Neverland playing or gaming channel. And you can see a lot of playthroughs and everything, and a lot of fun. And who knows, maybe we'll get some people together and we'll play Phasmophobia together. Last time I played with some people I didn't know, and it was great because they kind of guided me through some stuff, because these people really knew what they were doing, and I had a grand time playing with them. So I hope I run into some more people. I've been watching some videos on YouTube that Phasmophobia has changed somewhat. I don't know if it's available to play on console yet with some of these changes, but it is available on Steam. I do own a copy. So there's a lot of fun stuff to be had coming up in October as well. So, but yes, that's what I've been playing. It's been fun to play some Spider-Man 2 again. It's not a perfect Spider-Man game, but a lot of the stuff that they got right with the first one, they did get right this time. There's just also some silly things they got wrong that just, you kind of roll your eyes like, why is this in this game? That doesn't even make sense. And it's like, yeah, there's a lot of some stuff that's just like, this seems out of place, but they still, all the things that they got right in that first one, they still did get right this one. So it's not as good story-wise necessarily as the first game, but the gameplay is definitely there. So if you never played the Spider-Man 2 for exclusively to PlayStation 5, I think PlayStation 4 may have gotten it as well, though. I don't know. I think it might have moved to computer as well. But yeah, I do still recommend you play it. It is fun if you're a Marvel or Spider-Man fan. You'll have a good time with it. But that's what I've been playing. The only thing I really have for any sort of news is we're just going to talk about the loss of James Earl Jones. I mean, there has been some news dropped in the day I haven't gotten a chance to get into, but I wanted to get something recorded. But there is a state of play that's gone on for some new things with PlayStation. So I'm sure, you know, maybe even later this week, I might release some stuff to talk about some any new game news that may have dropped. I have, of course, been sharing it in our Facebook group. Make sure you've joined that so you can follow along with some of the fun and comment on some of the things that I share over there. There is a fan page as well, but it's a lot easier to share with the group than it is to hop over to the fan page and when I find something neat to go and share it. Although the page for the Eternal Neverland is currently a fan page, I might try to make a group for that as well once I get that rolling. We'll just see. I got to start getting some donors on there, so I'm hoping some people that liked Solid Rock are still hanging around out there. So let's talk a little bit about James Earl Jones. I have the article from Deadline from when he passed away, and it said that James Earl Jones, revered actor. Allow ads. I got a thing from Deadline. There we go. The revered actor who voiced Star Wars villain Darth Vader, starred in Field of Dreams and many other films and Broadway shows, and is an EGOT winner, or EGOT. I'm not sure what that means. Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. Okay, so he won all of it. Died in his home in Dutchess County, New York at 93 years old. His reps at Independence Artist Group confirmed the news to Deadline. Widely regarded as among the world's great stage and screen actors, Jones is one of the few entertainers to have won the Emmy, the Grammy, the Oscar, and the Tony through his Academy Award was honorary. That's interesting. Jones has received 2 Primetime Emmy Awards, a Daytime Emmy, a Spoken Word Grammy Award in 1977, and 3 Tony Awards. The actor amassed nearly 200 screen credits during his brilliant 60-year career, starting some early 60s TV guest roles and Stanley Kubrick's 1964 classic Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. He's probably best known for his voice role as the dastardly Darth Vader in George Lucas's original Star Wars trilogy, and he also reprised a role, of course, in the prequel trilogy, also in Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and Rise of Skywalker, and TV's Obi-Wan Kenobi and Star Wars Rebels. So there's a lot of different lines, of course, that people will quote from his work on previous films. And, of course, Deadline goes and lists a lot of those films. I do want to go and jump into a little bit of his early life. There's some early life about him that was, I think, very, very interesting. He was born in Arkabutla, Mississippi. Those of you in Mississippi can correct me if you would like. Jones had a stutter since childhood, and he said that poetry and acting helped him overcome the challenges of his disability. He was a pre-med major in college, served as an officer in the U.S. Army during the Korean War before pursuing a career in acting. His deep voice was praised as stirring basso profondo that has lent gravel and gravitas to his projects. I actually used the same word when describing how he delivered some lines in The Field of Dreams. Jones made his Broadway debut in the play Sunrise at Campobello in 1957. Then he gained prominence for acting in numerous productions with Shakespeare in the Park, including Othello, Hamlet, Coriolanus, and King Lear. He worked steadily in theater, winning the Tony Award for Best Actor in the Play for his role as a boxer in The Great White Hope in 1968, which he reprised in the 1970 film adaptation, earning him an Academy Award and Golden Globe nominations. So, yeah, because I guess he didn't win an Academy. He got it honorably, or whatever you want to call it. But he was at least nominated. He won a 2nd Tony Award for Best Actor in a Play for his role as a working-class father in August Wilson's Fences in 1987. He was a Tony Award nominee for his roles as the husband in Ernest Thompson's On Golden Pond in 2005, about an aging couple, and as a former president in the Gore Vidal play The Best Man in 2012. Other Broadway performances included Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, Driving Miss Daisy. Oh my goodness, could you imagine him in I haven't seen that movie. That might be something that pops up on the Watching Movies with My Pastor, because Philip keeps saying I need to watch that, and I've never watched all of it. Morgan Freeman, I'm sure, is great in that movie, but James Earl Jones in that role, I can imagine that'd be good. You Can't Take It With You in 2014. I've actually been in that play myself a couple of times. The Gin Game, and he received a special Tony Award for a Lifetime Achievement in 2017. Now, we mentioned, of course, he was born. He's a mixed African-American, Irish, and Native American ancestry. From the age of 5, he was raised by his maternal grandparents, John Henry and Maggie Connolly, on their farm in Dublin, Michigan, and they moved from Mississippi in the Great Migration. Jones found the transition to living with his grandparents in Michigan traumatic and suffered a stutter so severe that he refused to speak. And he said he was a stutterer. I couldn't talk, so my first year of school was my first mute year. And then those mute years continued until I got to high school. He credited his English teacher, Donald Crouch, who discovered he had a gift for writing poetry, was helping him end his silence. Crouch urged him to challenge his reluctance to speak through reading poetry aloud to the class. In 1949, Jones graduated from Dixon Rural Agricultural School, now Brethren High School in Brethren, Michigan, where he served as vice president of his class. And attended, of course, as we mentioned before, the University of Michigan, where he was initially a pre-med major, joined the Reserve Officer Training Corps, and excelled. He felt comfortable within the structure of the military environment and enjoyed the camaraderie of his fellow cadets, the Pershing Rifles Drill Team, and the Scabbard and Blade Honor Society. After his junior year, he focused on drama with the thought of doing something he enjoyed before he assumed he would have to go off to fight in the Korean War. Jones graduated from the university in 1955, which with a Bachelor of Arts majoring in drama. And we've already discussed a bit about his career. I mean, let's just think a little bit about what he has meant to us with the roles. I mean, using the word gravitas for what he gave to it with the way it wasn't just his tone of voice, but the way he would speak and his delivery that had such weight. He gave it all such meaning that, I mean, it was just undeniable. I mean, that's what really made Darth Vader, because Darth Vader spoke and there was such weight to his words and had just enough menace to be frightening. But even in Field of Dreams, when he's got something big to say, he enunciated it. So, and probably because of the stutter and how he came out of that stutter, he enunciated so precisely and gave everything such weight, but yet it didn't sound unnatural when he was enunciating so well. It just felt natural and great, and you listened, you know, you really heard. I mean, he played a lot of great roles in a very long career, not just on stage, but in screen. And we, of course, know him most from screen. Philip really enjoys, if you look on YouTube, you can find where he read the New Testament out there. He was a devout Roman Catholic. He actually converted to Catholicism in his time in the military. Described his narration of the New Testament as his greatest honor. He did have diabetes, his type 2 diabetes. Mid-1990s, he was diagnosed. His doctor noticed this after he had fallen asleep while exercising at the gym. I understand type 2 diabetes. I have that as well. He passed away September 9th at the age of 93 at his home in Pawling, New York. He was, for a long time, the voice of CNN. And he will be missed, but he left a lot behind for us to enjoy. So we will continue to enjoy that, all of his great works. Find your favorite thing. I mean, you know, Star Wars, of course, you're probably going to watch that. But find something that he was in and just go watch it and enjoy it. And remember the great James Earl Jones.
So I think one of the overall things that seems to be communicating is that people's dreams change. And baseball is there through every period of life, through like the 60s and everything. Baseball is there. But like the people who dream of playing, they get bigger dreams.
Yeah.
And he thought like, oh, his father had just given up on his dreams and everything. So no, his father had lived that dream, but you are the new dream.
Yeah, it's a nice.
I mean, I don't think he got it till the end where he says, no, this isn't heaven, this is Iowa. Then he looks over and has his family.
Yeah.
So maybe this is heaven. If that's where dreams come true, it's like,
Good movie, huh?
Yeah.
And the music, I tell you, having like this.
Yeah, to hear it. But first, yeah, it's the first time
I watched this after my father passed away in 2010. I bawled like a baby more than ever before because I can't even talk about it, but there's something about a father-son relationship.
Yeah.
Some men still watch this and cry because there's something very close about a father-son relationship, you know?
Yeah.
And baseball does that for some people, you know?
And I know like the whatever ghost of his father, whatever, knew, yeah, you know, spirit, it's his whatever. Son, but yeah. It's like you've got to, he got all this time not really looking at his father, who his father really was, and didn't understand his father until at the end. It's like, oh, no, wait, because his father was an old guy when he had it there. So he never.
He knew him, but he didn't know him.
He didn't really know his father. Yeah, you could definitely see that. So it's kind of neat to be able to say, like, you know, where you always argued and, you know, you didn't stop and think of like.
Didn't have a close relationship for certain.
Yeah. He didn't think that his father was ever young, you know, I guess. And
this will sound dark.
It's interesting.
But one of the most, I don't want to say good, but one of the things that God can use all things. When I was young and I was 16 and my friend was killed, I had a friend who was murdered. And when that happened, it changed my outlook on so many things. And the outlook was to never assume you're going to have people around forever. And I just started looking at people and telling people how I felt about them. Yeah. I started telling everyone how I loved them. And yeah, some people look at me weird, but there's different types of love. And I would tell people, I love you, and you know, and start letting them know that just how much I care. And because you're never promised tomorrow.
Right.
And so I started looking at life differently.
Yeah.
You know, I really did. I started thinking about every day as a blessing. And it is. Especially with me, you may know me, may not, but I've gone through 7 brain surgeries.
Yeah.
And my first one was 14 years old. So at 14, of course, I had no idea I was going to go through 6 more. But every day is a blessing.
Yeah.
And that's why I love this movie. Now, I've had some people who spiritually will look at it and say, oh, there's this and this. I'm not getting all the New Age stuff. I'm talking about it's fantasy. That's how I look at it. And you can look and see good things, too. Spiritual stuff, in if you want to.
But there was a lot of faith.
Yes.
Stuff. It's
absolutely.
Like, but it's... I love the way I've heard a description of faith as what, you know, we got the definition of evidence for things hoped for, but it's not a blind faith.
No.
We have evidence to have that faith.
Yeah.
And he'd had the evidence that all this stuff was happening.
Mm-hmm.
He could see it, but he had to continue to have faith that it was all going to work out.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that. And of course, you know, the concept, I loved having Dr. Albert Graham in there.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
Burt Lancaster,
he had tremendous. His little bit of time where he wanted to play baseball. But his bigger dream was he got to look the difference that he made in community by being a doctor. That was his bigger dream. And sometimes the bigger thing you do, like it's you know, that family or having that farm with his family, you know, that farm ended up, you know, he gave up whatever and he didn't know nothing about farming when he got in there. But him and that farm with his family was his dream.
And he got to make other people's dreams come
yes,
true.
Yes. And he's making other people's dreams come true.
And I like also with the doctor, I like the Alicia, you know, if he stayed on baseball, he may have never met Alicia and all he loved her. You know,
so it kind of shows like if you have like some kind of dream that you're not quite being fulfilled, maybe it's time you just got a different dream.
Yeah.
Because maybe what you're doing, this is really a thing I like. Maybe you are fulfilling things by what you're doing and you're not paying mm-hmm. attention the right way. Maybe God's got you right where you need to be and you're not noticing that you're doing great things, even if you're not doing the things that you thought you were supposed to do.
Yeah, I joke about this a lot, how I wanted to be a professional wrestler as a kid. I wanted to be an animator, you know, Disney animator, and I wanted to do comic book stuff. I wanted to do this, I wanted to do that. But that wasn't God's intention. It wasn't his plan. I was to be a pastor the whole time. I just wasn't aware of it. But others knew, and I just wasn't aware. But I use a lot of those talents even now with what I do.
Yeah.
So it's okay. It's just, it doesn't mean I don't love those things still. It's just that's not what I was intended to be.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that.
So even if you're not doing what you thought you were doing, you might be exactly where you need to be, and you just need perspective.
Mm-hmm. So I couldn't wait for you to see
it's
that.
There's a lot of things going on with this, mm-hmm. you know. You know, take a look at your life. It's like, maybe you're actually living the dream life and you're right where God wants you to be and you just don't realize it. And sometimes you have to take that step out on faith and not know where you're going with this. Don't know why. Okay, well, I don't know who's coming. I don't know what I'm supposed to build. Okay, now I know what I'm supposed to build, but I don't know who's supposed to be coming.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're doing, but like, I'm just going to obey. And it's like, this is what I'm supposed to do at this moment because God doesn't tell you the whole thing. He says, step by step, trust me. I see. You know, there's definitely some deep spiritual meanings that I think was somewhat intentional. Maybe we were going deeper into it because the understanding that we have more than what they had gotten into. So there's a lot going on
with just losing James Earl Jones. Who it's funny how actors like that, people like that, not just actors, but people like that, celebrities. We feel like we know them because, especially when they're really old.
Yeah,
we feel like we know them. All of us, they're a part of our life, whether it's a voiceover, whatever it is. We feel like we know them.
Yeah.
For instance, Dick Van Dyke, he's been part of our lives before our life. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like those kind of people are a part of us in a sense. And because we are with them. And I have books by Dick Van Dyke. I have all sorts of wonderful things. So the point is that when those people leave us, that's a big gap that everybody feels like they've lost something.
Because he could give words just such weight. And
James Earl Jones, yes.
Only he could have given that. It's sort of a repeat a little what the little girl said, but he gave it when he was kind of saying it again and agreeing with the little girl. It adds such weight. And even when Ray's coming to the door there, he said something with such weight and said, now then bugger off, you know.
Yeah.
Before he just come and bugger off, what he was saying before had such gravitas because he had such a voice and such a way to deliver it that it's just... The words, he like gives the words more meaning than they had.
I saw an interview with him. And it really helped me a lot. Now, I had a lot of speech impediment growing up and I had to take speech classes.
Yep, me too.
And whenever he spoke about that, that he had the same thing and he thought he couldn't do anything, I thought, you, of all people, I'm still not perfect, but I'm a pastor, so I had to preach. And sometimes I have to say things deep and very slowly to make sure they sound right. I'm not trying to sound like James Earl Jones.
And I have to slow myself down so people can even understand what in the world I'm saying.
So I understand that a lot with him, even he made sure he could say things slowly. That's what I have to do sometimes. There's certain words I have a hard time with. World is one of them. I used to say world. I don't know why.
I'm in the world.
I used to go, what in the world? So I have to say, what in the world? But James Earl Jones helped me with that as a kid. Because I thought if Darth Vader, of all people, you know, I knew him from Conan and all that. And then, of course, later on, Lion King and Field of Dreams, one of my favorites. Yeah. The moment where he walked into the field, like he's saying, but almost going to a heaven type place. Yeah. That was always a way to say for me, I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah. And we never get to find out what happens as he disappears into the cornfield. Like, I was like, well, he was an old man. Maybe that was, although, you know what this makes me think of? Like when Rutger Hauer passed away, you go back now, his final speech in Blade Runner.
Yes.
How life is just, if you have to appreciate every little thing as it all washes away like tears in the rain. I played that clip on the podcast just as it was such weightier now knowing that he's gone. And now seeing a scene with James Earl Jones as he just goes and smiles, walking in and disappears into the cornfield. I felt like we got to say goodbye to James Earl Jones.
I was watching Richard Harris earlier today, and one of the last things he did was The Count of Monte Cristo.
Oh, yeah?
And his character passed away in that, and he said...
I haven't watched that long.
Oh, that's a great film.
That's the Jim Caviezel one,
yeah,
right?
Yes. Yeah, he did a great, great job, Richard Harris.
Well, I'll remember Gladiator.
He was
so great in Gladiator, too.
He was amazing. And almost everything he did, he was amazing.
Well, Dumbledore.
I'm trying to think of the name of the movie. The one that had, and I want to say Untouchables, that's not it. Unforgiven. I
haven't seen that
one. Oh, it's got language and stuff. Yeah. It's a good film. Clint Eastwood, great film. And anyway, he's in there. He's Richard Harris. Great dude in there. Anyway.
Should probably wrap this up. Yeah, though. So this has been Watching Movies with My Pastor. We have watched Field of Dreams. You're not going to probably have heard a whole lot of us talking during the movie because I was trying to pay attention to a movie I had never seen before. So, but I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you'll join us. We're watching another movie. I haven't, at some point, I don't know if I'm going to have played the Batman episode yet, but there will be an episode of Batman that'll go on a long time. We've got a lot of movies we want to watch. I'm not sure which one we're going to watch next. I've been thinking to maybe do Spider-Man because I haven't watched that in a long time.
Yeah.
And we watched Batman, so now we got to watch Spider-Man. And then we got to watch Superman because we're going to nerd
out. Have you ever seen the 3-hour version of that that was only on
Superman?
TV? Yeah.
Yeah, brother, I own a copy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The Richard Donner cut?
No, not that.
Superman 2. I mean, but I do have the extended Superman, which I believe I have digitally. If not there, I have a copy over here too, but yeah.
Yeah, the one that was the TV
sure
version.
Yeah.
Almost 4 hours, yeah. It's good.
It's so good, though. Mm-hmm, it's so good. So, yeah, because those are going to be like our like top comic book movies. We got to do those. So, yeah, there's a lot of fun movies that we're going to watch. And it's a lot of old movies we're thinking to watch, too.
Is there any Halloweenish ones?
Well, I don't know when I'm going to get. I'm hoping to get some episodes released this week, but I don't know how quickly we're going to release episodes. I'm going to try to have a few in the can and then get them. Because I don't know how often we can get together to watch movies. Hopefully every week, but it's going to be a challenge. So
yeah, it will.
I want to get a little ahead of the game. So we'll see. But more movies to come.
Now, Peter Renaday is a name you might not be familiar with, but if you are a Disney fan, you should know him. Disney fans should know him most for perhaps Henry in the Country Bears, along with other roles, including if you had the record or the album of the Haunted Mansion that had Ron Howard as a character going through the Haunted Mansion. Peter Renaday played the ghost host with that echoey voice that they gave him. Also known best for playing Master Splinter in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles of the 80s. Also, he was Vernon. I can't think of Vernon's last name. But, I mean, he's voiced a lot. He was born in 1935, September 6th. He's an American actor, voice artist, and during a career that spanned some six decades, he appeared in 200 TV and film roles, along as working as well as working in radio and stage, voicing numerous animated films and video games, and making appearances at several theme parks. Best, of course, known for Master Splinter. He voiced Abraham Lincoln in The Hall of Presidents at one point, Henry and Max in the Country Bear Jamboree at Magic Kingdom and Walt Disney World, and Easy Pete and other characters in Fallout New Vegas, which I haven't played Fallout New Vegas. He was born Pierre Laurent Renaday, with a different spelling, in New Iberia, Louisiana. Made his acting debut in 1965 in the television series Combat, and in the 1980s, of course, we know him as Splinter. He was married to Florence Flo June Daniel from 1979 until her death on February the 18th of 2011. She worked as a secretary in the music department at Walt Disney Studios for 35 years, including as executive secretary to two heads of the department. Colorado soprano, she was also featured as a vocalist on The Sounds of Christmas, produced by Disneyland Records in 1973, alongside her husband. Now, IMDb also mentions that in Assassin's Creed, Evil Con Carne, The Aristocats, Grim Adventures of Billy Mandy, The Princess and the Frog, Ninja Gaiden 2, and The Matrix Path of Neo. He provided his voice to Disney and Walt Disney attractions, of course, as we know, Rocket to the Moon. He was a captain on Mission to Mars as a first officer, Collins. Also did the Country Bear Christmas special as Henry the Bear, you might know, and the Vacation Hoedown. Prior to working on the Ninja Turtles, he worked with Cam Clark. He portrayed Sherlock Holmes in the play The Hound of the Baskervilles alongside Cam Clark. Now, Cam Clark, you might know, was the voice of Leonardo and a lot of other different characters if you look him up. His voice announced the arrival of trains at the Main Street Station, Disneyland. Your attention, please. Made his acting debut, of course, 1965 in Combat. Let's see some of the other things. I think a lot of stuff was already mentioned. Now, I'm trying to find the story of how he got his start. Walt Disney gave him his start. And I would like to share that information. I need to find it, though. The D23 official website said that he did, of course, many acting and voice roles for Disney films in the 70s and the 80s, including Lieutenant Robinson Crusoe, USN, The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes, The Million Dollar Duck, and The Cat from Outer Space. Lots of different things, films. I found a lot of lists. Of course, you'll hear him on the sailing ship Columbia. I think he even played, I'm trying to find this. I'm pretty sure he was on the Mark Twain steamboat. I believe he's the voice of Mark Twain on there. Or was that, my brain's not working. But you can hear him a lot across the parks and everything. The sailing ship Columbia, of course, was announced on the Astro Orbiter. Formerly the voice of Captain Nemo in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Narrator of the Walt Disney story. So much work. And I'm finding lots of lists of the different work, but I've only heard on old podcasts from years ago where he was actually a guest and shared some of his story where he was sort of discovered by Walt Disney, if I remember correctly, that he hadn't intended to be an actor. Walt was good at finding people's talents and brought him along. And I wish I could find the entire story, but I as much as I've looked around, I never really found anything. I find a lot of stuff about his different games that he worked on. And he's just had really such an impact. And there was really some nice tributes by Townsend Coleman, who was a past guest on our show. He was the voice of Michelangelo, does a lot of work on Adventures in Odyssey, was the voice of NBC for a long time. He had a fantastic post. Let me read what he posted to Twitter. He said, "Folks, I'm devastated this morning to learn of the passing yesterday of our dear sensei, Peter Benaday. Pete was one of the most genuine, salt-of-the-earth people I have ever known, and I will miss him dearly. I had the privilege of visiting him a month ago, and he was as vibrant as ever. At 89, just as endearingly silly, smart, and talented as I've always known him to be. Ugh, this is hard. A Disneyland legend and our dear Master Splinter. Rest well, my sweet friend." And that was such a fitting tribute. I really enjoyed seeing that on Facebook, especially when, like, early that morning, I was seeing posts from other Disney podcasters saying that, "Oh, hey, did you hear something about Peter Benaday passing away?" And I was trying to look for it, and it went a very long time before I could really confirm it. I think I got real confirmation from Townsend Coleman, although I had shared in the Adventures in Odyssey fan group that I'm a part of, that I was hearing Pete Renaday had passed away, because he had done some voices on Adventures in Odyssey as well. And getting that confirmation from Townsend Coleman, and then I think Cam Clark posted something, really solidified it. But he has meant a lot to so many people, and even just looking at the list of his credits, there's so many different things, even small parts, you know, playing a jailer in The Apple Dumpling Gang Rides Again, The Last Flight of Noah's Ark, The Devil and Max Devlin. He was just a studio engineer. He would be a lot of these side characters. Even The Adventures of Pinocchio in 1972, he voiced a tuna fish. A lot of different just side characters before, of course, playing some star roles as well. Even Dr. Marsh Amen-Ra from G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, and episodes of The Transformers, Defenders of the Earth, he played Mandrake the Magician, Tailspin as William Stansberry, Darkwing Duck, Batman the Animated Series, he was the second Longshoreman in Terror in the Sky, played Abraham Lincoln for Animaniacs, a few different roles in Gargoyles, he voiced Howard Stark in an Iron Man episode in 1995, that's the cartoon. Just so many different things. Even the priest and Tan Zhang voice in Samurai Jack. So much work that he's had an impact on you. And he's one of those voices you kind of get used to and you start to recognize him once you know. And because he did have a great voice. So it really did. He really did have an impact. And I appreciate, you know, these actors that pass away, that they leave such a body of work that has meant something to us, and that they've entertained us for years, that even after they're gone, we can still enjoy their work. So, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, actors or whatever, celebrities that maybe in their regular life, we don't like some of the stuff they do. But if we can focus on the work that they do and how we've enjoyed their work, there's so much enjoyment in there as entertainers that we can appreciate. It lasts. It leaves a legacy. It leaves an impression on us. And it's very special to have the work of Peter Renaday and James Earl Jones out there for us to enjoy. Now, I've talked about sharing some old radio shows here on the podcast that I've found are in public domain. I want to share that with you before we go. And then I'll be back to wrap it up after that.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Alan Young Show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ken Delmars welcoming you to The Alan Young Show, featuring our singing star, Diane Courtney, the music of Peter Van Steeden, and starring Alan Young. Well, friends, we're just outside Alan Young's house. It's a beautiful house. The walls are covered with rambling roses. No paint, just roses. You know, Alan gave a dinner party last night. I wonder if he's finished washing the dishes.
Oh, hello, Kenny. Come on in.
Okay.
Glad you dropped in, Kenny. Did you enjoy the dinner party I gave last night?
I certainly did, Alan. I'm sorry I had to leave so soon. How long did the party go on after I left?
Oh, it lasted for about an hour and a quart. But I'm glad you liked the meal. What did you think of the main course, the beefsteak surprise?
Beefsteak surprise? What was the surprise?
Didn't you notice? No beefsteak. And by the way, I'm not going to invite Peter Van Steeden to another dinner party at my house. The man simply has no table manners at all. If you remember when I was eating, I kept my little finger extended.
Well, what's that supposed to indicate? Elegance?
Well, it means a left turn into the spaghetti. Yeah, that was quite a dinner, and very expensive, too. When I was out chopping at the dairy, they asked me 40 cents for a quart of buttermilk, but I outsmarted them.
What did you do?
I bought a pound of butter, and I milked it myself. Incidentally, Ken, you ought to see that dairy I go to. It's ultra-modern. They put a radio in the stall with every cow to encourage production. When I got there, the place was flooded with milk.
Why?
The cows were listening to Double or Nothing.
Well, say, Alan, I meant to ask you, why did you give that dinner party?
Didn't you know? To celebrate the big victory of my high school football team. I love football. I saw the Cornell-Princeton game last year, and I sat so far up in the grandstand I had to use binoculars. Somehow or other, a penny got stuck on one of the lenses.
What happened?
All through the first half, I thought Abraham Lincoln was playing fullback.
Well, you kind of like football, don't you, Alan?
Oh, yes. I was the star halfback for the Tutwater High School team in their big game of the season.
Who did you play?
The Beaverdale Bloomer Girls. I'll never forget that game. Before the game, everybody said the Bloomer Girls had beat the pants off us. But if you happen to see the game, you know that we beat the... Well, we won. I'd love to tell you more, Kenny, but I left the water running for my bath. I've got to get upstairs. You can wait for me here in the living room if you want.
Mr. Young! Hey, Mr. Young, come up here and do the kitchen, eh?
That cook of mine. I wonder what she wants. What is it, Carmelita?
Mr. Young, perhaps you can lend me a hand, eh? I want you to help me paste this chicken.
Paste the chicken?
See, and look how the cookbook spells paste. With a B.
Must be a mistake. Here's the glue. You know, Carmelita, you're not doing a very good job of keeping this house in order.
Mr. Young, one more remark like this and I go out and get for myself another job. Don't forget I have very good references from my last employer.
References? You never showed them to me?
I got the letter right here. Look, I read it to you. Carmelita Gomez is a very good cook, and she keep my house clean. I can recommend her. She is so efficient.
Wait a second. Who signed that reference?
Xavier Cougar.
Put that letter away and get busy with the house. Here, I bought some furniture polish for you.
Is he good stuff?
Oh, it's wonderful. You just put some on the furniture and rub for 3 days. Then put a little more on and rub for 4 days. And before you know it, the week is gone. Now, get busy around here. If anybody calls, I'll be taking a bath.
Mr. Young, you took a bath yesterday.
I take a bath every day.
Oh, you Americans are so superstitious. Los Americanos de los Estados Unidos son locos en las cabezas.
That's what I get for hiring a Swedish cook. Hey, that water is still running in the tub. I better get upstairs right away. I didn't overflow much. The only thing that's floating is the sink. Now for a nice hot bath. Let me get my clothes off. My jacket, my tie, my shirt. Darn it. Why do I use these safety pins? Doesn't that bathtub look inviting? Just like an ocean. I'll make believe I'm an admiral in the Navy. Now, this is my fleet. This washcloth is a battleship. This sponge is a destroyer. This scrubbing brush is an aircraft carrier. Now, I'll open fire. Bang! Bang, bang, bang! Some sneak loaded the soap. Now for my bath. Kind of cold. Carmelita. Carmelita, what's wrong with the hot water?
It's cold.
Well, why isn't it hot?
Because the hot water heater is burst.
Oh, that hot water heater. I'll have to get a new one. Never get a hot bath in this house.
Alan, what are you mumbling about?
Hello, Kenny. I'd forgotten you were still here. My hot water heater's broken again. I gotta go downtown and buy a new one. Want to come along?
Thank you.
Kenny, look who's coming down the street, Diane Courtney. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Alan.
Say, Diane, I heard some wonderful news about you. The editorial staff of Song Hits magazine has chosen you as the outstanding new singer of 1944 because of your wonderful work you've done on radio, records, and your singing for the armed forces. That's a wonderful honor, you know.
Well, thank you, Alan. I'm really grateful to Song Hits magazine and its readers, and I'd like to thank them very much.
Yeah. You know, Diane, I had an honor conferred on me by a magazine this week, too.
Really? What was it?
Well, the editors of the Grapefruit Growers Weekly looked over the field of new comedians, and they selected me as the most promising young squirt of 1944. By the way, Diane, have you learned any new songs lately?
Uh-huh. But may I do an old favorite, Just One of Those Things?
Oh, swell, Diane.
It was just one of those things, just one of those crazy things, one of those bells that now and then ring. Just one of those things. It was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon on gossamer wings. Just one of those things. If we thought a bit of the end of it when we started painting the town, we'd have been aware that our love affair was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, dear, and amen. Here's hoping we meet now and then. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things. If we thought a bit of the end of it when we started painting the town, we'd have been aware that our love affair was too hot not to cool down. Oh, but it was just one of those things, dear. Just one of those wonderful, wonderful
Gee, that was fine, Diane.
Well, thank you, Alan. Oh, here comes my sister, Betty. You remember Betty, don't you, Alan?
Oh, yeah. Hello, Betty.
Hello, Mr. Young. How are you?
Oh, that's okay. Betty.
Yes, Mr. Young.
Care to see me jump over this fire hydrant?
Mm-hmm. Alan, you sort of like my sister, don't you?
Oh, well, you know what they say in French?
No, what?
They can say almost anything in French. sure is nice to see you, Betty.
Thank you.
Alan, Betty's very thrilled because today she's starting college. She's looking forward to meeting all the big college men.
Huh?
Oh, yes, I've heard so much about them. Oh, they're all so suave and sophisticated.
Huh? Diane, cigarette?
No, Alan.
Betty, cigarette?
No, Mr. Young.
Well, I guess I'll have to bum one from somebody else. Made any good fudge lately, Betty?
Not lately.
Ah.
Well, I've got some more shopping to do. I'll see you later, kids.
Goodbye, Diane.
Goodbye, Diane. Your sister's swell, Betty. I don't meet many girls like her.
No?
No. I don't meet many girls like you either.
No?
I don't meet many girls. Betty, are you walking my way?
Yes, I am.
Good. So am I. Gosh, Betty, you're the prettiest girl I ever saw.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. Gee, I could just be putty in your hands, if you care for a handful of putty. You know, I was going to ask you for a date.
Well, okay, Mr. Young. I'll go out with you. I had a fight with my parents, and I want to disgrace them.
What?
Oh, I didn't mean that, Mr. Young. But my dad doesn't like you. Hmm? Well, he says that anyone I go out with has to be a man of the world.
Well, tell him I'm a man of the world.
I did, and he said he means this world.
Oh. Mm.
And another thing, Dad prefers a man who... Oh, there's Eddie. Hello, Eddie. Oh, isn't that a lovely car he has, Mr. Young? A brand new 8-cylinder roadster. Mm. Oh, Mr. Young, Eddie's waving at you. Why don't you say something to him?
Well, okay. Hi, Eddie. Your father out of jail yet?
Mr. Young, that wasn't very nice. Eddie is a very fine boy, and he's taking me to the country club dance tonight.
Huh? They got a nice dance at the Elks Club tonight. I'm going down if I can get an elk. I hate to go to the Elks as a stag.
Pretty good, eh, Betty? Elk, stag, you know, sort of a joke.
Forget it.
Oh, there's Charlie. Oh, he has a convertible roadster, too. Oh, Charlie's so much fun. He's effervescent, and he just bubbles over.
Soda 7-Up, and you get 2 cents back on the bottle. Diane said you were going to go to college.
Oh, yes, I've been looking forward to it. Oh, I'm so much in love with Plato, Socrates, and Euripides.
Hmm? Don't you ever go out with American boys?
Mr. Young, you just don't understand. What ever stopped you from going to college?
High school. Of course, I could have gone to college. My father wanted me to have all the advantages he didn't have. He wanted me to go to Vassar.
But Vassar is a girls' college.
He wanted me to have all the advantages he didn't have. Besides, Gee, look at the time. I gotta be getting along. I gotta buy a hot water heater for my house.
Where are you going to buy it?
You haven't lived around here very long, have you? Where do I buy anything? Greenbracker's department store. Mr. Breenbracker.
Oh, you would have to walk in now.
Oh, were you doing something important?
I was in the back of the store, wrapping up a package to send to my wife's brother overseas.
Well, what are you sending him?
My wife. Now, did you come in here to buy something, or did the girls on the block throw you out of their potsy game again?
Don't be silly, Mr. Breenbracker. I don't play potsy. I'm grown up. Why do you think I wear these long pants?
So the fellas can tell you from your sister. Now, what did you come in here for, Buster Brown?
Well, Mr. Breenbracker, I'm here because I haven't had a hot bath for weeks.
I bet you don't get many dates, do you?
Mr. Breenbracker, what I mean is my hot water heater's broken, so I have to take cold baths.
Well, tell me something, kid, and I hope I'm not being too personal. But who washes your back?
Nobody. I do it myself with a long-handled scrubbing brush.
I tried that the last time I took a bath, and it was no good.
Why not?
I tore my underwear.
Look, Mr. Breenbracker, do you have a hot water heater to sell me?
Sure I have. I have a gas heater, an electric heater, a coal heater, and a radio model.
What's a radio model?
Gabriel heater, nosy.
Mr. Breenbracker, why are you always so nasty to me? Is something bothering you?
I never get any rest at night. My wife walks in her sleep.
Why does that keep you from resting?
I dream that I'm a sailor and I follow her.
Isn't that strange? You're unhappy because you can't sleep, and my trouble is that I sleep like a log.
What's wrong with sleeping like a log?
My father keeps throwing me into the fireplace. I wish he wouldn't do it. I keep on making an ash of myself.
Isn't he corny? Kid, no wonder you can sleep. No wonder you can sleep, kid. You don't have a wife like my Emily to nag you. Hmm? Take my advice, kid. Don't ever get married.
Why not?
Between you and me, love is silly.
Between you and me, it would be ridiculous. Now, can I see the hot water heater?
Here's one right over here. This is a gas heater.
Well, let me see if it works. I'll turn on the gas. Ah, the gas is coming through, all right. I think I'll light a match.
Don't light a match. Too much gas has escaped. It'll explode.
I can't explode. I'll just light a match to see if the heater works.
Don't light that match. The explosion will knock you flat on your face.
There's no danger at all. I'll light this match and then it'll... Oh.
I'm glad.
Mr. Greenberg, maybe I better buy an electric hot water heater. That one near the showcase looks like a good one. The tag on it says guaranteed for 2 years and gives hot water in 30 seconds.
That's a misprint. Hmm? It's guaranteed for 30 seconds and gives hot water in 2 years. The price is $95 cash.
Oh, I haven't got the cash. I'll pay you in installments.
I sell for cash only. If you haven't got the money now, you can borrow it across the street at the Loophole Loan Company.
Well, I never borrowed any money from a loan company, but I'll do it this once because I need the heater badly.
You'll be very happy with this heater. I've got one myself.
What?
Last night I came home after a hard day's work, got all set to take a nice hot bath, but I couldn't.
Why not? Didn't the heater work?
Yeah, it worked.
Was the water supply cut off?
No, there was plenty of water.
Then why couldn't you take your bath?
Because the sink was full of dishes.
Oh, good day, Mr. Bean.
Good day, Mr. Young.
See, I'm kind of nervous about going into that loan company. I better stop in here at Kenny's drugstore for a bracing malted milk. Oh, hiya, Kenny.
Hiya, Alan.
Okay, I guess. What's cooking?
Nothing. It always smells this way around here. Oh, I got millions of them.
Oh, great.
What's worrying you, Alan?
I gotta get a loan.
All right, I take the hint. I'll leave.
No, Kenny, no. A loan. You know the stuff you get in banks?
You mean you're going to a bank because you want to be alone?
Place Mr. Breenbracker sent me to. The Friendly, Courteous Loophole Loan Company. How do you do? Are you Mr. Loophole?
Yes. What do you want, you flat-headed, fish-faced, imbecilic, repulsive, timid, moronic-looking baboon?
Timid? I came in here to borrow some money.
Oh, you did you? What do you think we loan money to any stupid-looking character? Lupo Loan Company, what do you want? Oh, hello, Mr. Frisbee. You borrowed $900 from us 6 years ago, and I was kind of hoping that you might be able to make a payment soon. No, huh? Well, I hope you're not angry at me for mentioning the loan, Mr. Frisbee. You're not? Oh, thank you, Mr. Frisbee. Goodbye.
Who is Mr. Frisbee?
The head of my draft board. Now, you say you want to borrow some money?
Yes, I understand you do business in a very friendly, courteous way.
Oh, sure we do. See that branding iron over there in the corner? Haven't used that on one of our customers for weeks.
Oh.
So you want to borrow some money. Well, first, I want to measure your thumbs.
Why measure my thumbs?
I want to make sure they fit our thumb screws. How much would you want to borrow?
$95.
I see. Well, give me a list of all your past addresses.
Well, I lived at 264 Applegate Road for 14 years. Then I lived at 371 South Avenue for 15 years. Then I moved back to Applegate Road and lived there for 22 years.
Just a second. You're only about 25. How could you be living in this town over 51 years?
I forced myself.
I see. Well, tell me something. What do you do for a living?
I'm a radio comedian.
Oh, a radio comedian. One of those wise guys who do jokes about loan companies. Heard one of them the other night who said he had to leave his mother in the loan company dungeon of security on a loan.
I never did a joke like that. That was Eddie Cantor.
Well, the next time you see him, tell him to call for his mother. Now we come to another thing. If we lend you the money, what are you going to put up for security?
Well, how about that medal I won at PS 95 for coming in second in the potato race?
Who came in first?
The potato.
Well, now look, Mr. Young, when we hand out money, we've got to be sure we're going to get it back. Step inside for your physical examination.
Physical examination? What for?
Suppose you don't pay back the money.
Well?
We want to make sure you're strong enough to work on our chain gang. Now, just step into the next room. The doctor will take care of you.
Okay.
You're not nervous, are you?
Oh, no, I'm not nervous. I'm just breaking in these goose pimples for a goose. Oh, where's the doctor?
Here I am. Step right in here, please.
Oh, how do you do, doctor?
Now, young man, relax. I am Dr. Finwangle. Who are you?
Dr. Finwangle?
Oh, glad to meet you, Dr. Finwangle. I've been bothered with a pain in my side.
No, just a second. I'm Alan Young. You're Dr. Finwangle.
Really? How long have you been suffering from it?
Suffering from what?
Finwangle, very serious disease. You can't borrow any money if you have Finwangle.
Look, I need that money very badly, so examine me quick, quack.
All right, now, stick out your tongue. Further. 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 Now put your tongue back in your mouth.
Well, what's next, doctor?
Now, let me listen to your heart. I will listen to your heart. I will put this stethoscope on your chest. And now, sing something, please.
The old oaken bucket.
A little louder, please.
The iron-bound bucket.
A little louder.
The moss-covered bucket.
That's it.
That hangs by the well.
Well, that's fine. Do you know Besame Mucho?
Oh, let me out of here. I'll get my money and buy myself that hot water here.
Young, before you go in there to take your bath, I have to talk to you.
Carmelita, look, I'm tired. I want to take a bath. I've been running around all day getting an electric hot water heater. First, I went to Breenbracker's apartment store, then to the loan company. Now, I've spent the last 3 hours connecting up the electric wires down in the basement.
Yes, but you got the wires mixed up between the radio and the hot water pipe.
I did?
Sure. I just turned on the radio and hot water come out.
Hot water came out of the radio. My goodness, let's see what comes out of the hot water faucet when I turn it on. Stand back, I'll turn the faucet on. Look, something's coming out.
How do you do?
Has anyone seen my husband?
Carmelita, say hello to John's other wife. Good night, lovers of hot water heaters.
The Armed Forces Radio Service.
Of course, yes, we have all these sponsors we have to get through. By the way, if you don't want to hear those ads at the beginning, end, and the middle of the show, you can become an exclusive member through Red Circle or become a patron on patreon.com. Links are right there in the description. Go and become a donor. It really does help keep the show going. And right now, hey, you could even help me start this radio station through those methods. Want to remind you to go to NeverlandPodcast.com. There's also where you're going to find links for Dubby and Podgagement. They are a couple of sponsors of the show. Click through the links on their logos. Podgagement is a fantastic service if you happen to have a podcast, and Dubby has energy drinks that are good for you and healthy and will not give you the jitters, so you can keep on gaming. But we do want to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show for helping me out with the introduction. Don't forget that you can email me, podcast@NeverlandPodcast.com. We are on X as Neverland PCast, and of course on Facebook we have both a group and a fan page as Neverland Podcast. I think if you search for the Fandom Nexus, you'll find us there as well. But I'm going to go ahead and wrap this show up. And as we end every show, I'm going to let you know that you need to get lost in an adventure. And I'll see you next time.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah,
all for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.